Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show.
A while back, our good friend, RW, suggested that I get a nemesis. And Keith and I were like, I don't even know what that means. Like, we talked about it. I was like, you know, Keith was like, how could he possibly have a nemesis or whatever? But I've decided, upon reading the trivia for this movie and realizing... Eric Stoltz is my nemesis.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to just declare that right now. I would have been so enraged if he shared the screen with my Martin Donovan. Like, they should not exist in the same room. Eric Stoltz, I don't know why. He's done nothing. He just aggravates the shit out of me. When he's in something, I'm like, really? Really? Eric Stoltz. Why? I don't know. I don't know. But
I just assume it's about a certain whiteness.
It's true. Yeah.
That he inhabits.
Yeah, he does inhabit he is the epitome of a white man, but there's just something. Well,
he's also confusing. I've definitely learned since. I mean, I never really had much awareness of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew his name, but I was confused him with, I think, probably Gary Oldman or something.
Yeah.
But having watched movies, yeah. A lot more movies, he never seems to add anything.
He subtracts.
Kind of. And he's a person you could tell, like, and this is what I mean by, I think fortunately, this is probably, I don't know who to thank for this, but he seems like someone who probably would have at one point being pushed towards trying to be a leading man,
yeah,
heartthrob type, especially in the 80s.
You mean like Back to the Future?
Right. I mean, I guess, but even...
No, I mean he was no, cast in Back to the Future.
I know he was originally cast. But
they even shot scenes with him. There's like footage.
Yeah, I've seen the stills. Yeah, it's
I think that's where my root of
that's
I'm
the
like,
real Mandela effect.
They
should call
how
it the Stoltz here. Effect. But
yeah.
Yeah, he's like devoid of charm.
Yeah, there's
of
something
any,
yeah.
I mean he's just kind of a blank.
I feel like he's always cast as someone...
I don't find him offensive like you do.
I do. But I feel like he's always cast in such a way that, like, does not make sense to the person that he actually embodies.
Correct.
Because it's always like, oh, we're going to cast him as someone that, like, people want to fuck. And I'm like, that might be the case. Like, people might want to fuck him. I mean, I don't want to associate with those people. But, like, that's not how he acts. He doesn't act like that.
No.
He doesn't act like that kind of person. So casting him in
which is fine.
Exactly. That's not that part is not a diss on him. Like, he's not right. Acting like somebody, like, he's not acting like people want to fuck him. Not like he's not acting like someone who people want to fuck. He's not acting like he is fuckable. Like, that's not how he behaves. He behaves very strangely and almost without feeling. He's never cast as, like, sociopaths. He's always cast as, like, the most kindest person you've ever met. And I'm like, that's not him. Why are you casting him? It's like, oh, like in whatever. Anyway, I'm getting off subject, but this is how you know that, I truly, he played a teacher in a TV series that I watched who was like having a thing sort of with a student. And I still, and I was like 13, 14 at the time. So it was like prime age. And I still was like,
what was that?
No, it was like Now and Again. Basically, he was a teacher that.
Was it a series?
It was a series, yeah. He was playing a teacher to like one of the, like, it was about like a, two people that like had previously been married and had kids and then got divorced. Met each other and like ended up getting together and like sort of like dealing with having a blended family, right?
That's
so
vaguely familiar, actually.
Right. And it had Celia Ward and fucking whatever the dude is, Okona from the Magnificent Okona or whatever from that episode of TNG. And one of their daughters was like, you know, a writer, wanted to be a writer and was like, you know, so gifted. And so of course it was like, okay, obviously like her and I are the same.
Right.
And like her English teacher, her drama teacher or something. I don't remember. Like maybe it was her English teacher. Like he, you know, was like the cool guy who like, you know, Eric Stoltz. And, like, I was so invested, and, like, they ended up never get – there was a kiss that happened. Like, he ended up getting fired for, like, being inappropriate with his students. But, like, he didn't do anything. It was, like, she kept, like, trying to get them alone. Like, she would, like – like, she helped him organize, like, a movie night for the class. And then she didn't – she told everyone else it wasn't happening and then ended up showing up by herself with him. And he was, like, no – like that's not something that can happen or something like that. Like it was shit. Like, you know, they would have study sessions at his house and she would like tell people that it wasn't happening. And then she would show up with like makeup on and he'd be like, you look stupid. And, you know, then she'd go home and cry or whatever. But I'm saying,
what was it called?
Now and Again or something like that. Or Once and Again, something like that. There was like three shows around that time that were like all something and again.
I believe you.
Anyway. So he played a teacher in that directly with a direct storyline of like a student teacher inappropriate relationship. And I still don't care about Eric Stoltz. That should tell you what that does for me. Like, yeah.
Oh, Mask.
Oh my God, that's another reason.
I've never watched.
Me neither, because come on, what the fuck? Every time I read about it, I'm like, why was this movie made? Like even 10 years ago when like people, like I was like, why? Why was this? Why did this happen? 20 years ago when I first found out about it, I was like, that probably shouldn't happen.
Nope.
Eric Stoltz? Anyway, the reason why I bring up Eric Stoltz is because he was he originally cast or he was going to, or he was like going to be cast or something like that as Van Helsing. And he either wasn't able to do it or like it fell through or something like that. So he suggested Peter Fonda, who is the father of Bridget Fonda, who I guess Eric Stoltz was dating at the time or something. I don't know if I can, whatever.
Yep.
I'm thrilled that it did not happen because I would be so devastated.
It's the most I've ever liked Peter Fonda.
Yeah, this was like
what a cast.
I
fuck it.
Wow. I was, as we discussed, this was one that we were both kind of nervous about. Or you were really, Keith was like, yes. I'm gonna hate. Keith had no expectations of liking this whatsoever.
Correct.
And I was just like, Martin
Doesn't
Donovan's
matter.
In it. Don't give a shit. I assumed Martin Donovan was going to be like killed off like halfway through the movie. Same. I didn't think he was going to survive, even though he's like fourth build or something like that. Like, and the IMDb cast, he's like third or fourth. I was like, I'm sure he's not going to be, you know, that prominent. He's basically one of the main cast.
I think he gets second most screen time after Alina Lowenson.
Yeah.
Probably.
And this movie did some shit. I was like, holy fuck. I was surprised. There is lesbianism in it. There is period shit in it.
Oh, yeah.
Some far out period shit at first. I was like, whoa. Oh, my God. Like, this movie, it was shot so strangely in the coolest ways. I really loved what they did with it. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this movie was fucking cool. I was like, what? I was so excited. Like halfway through, I was like, man, it can go south. It can always go south. But I think I love this movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think this is one of my favorite Martin Donovan movies that I've ever seen because, whoa.
I probably like it better than Amateur.
That's crazy. No, I feel like it's on par. I feel like it's very... I don't think it could, I wouldn't confuse it with a Hartley, but it feels Hartley adjacent. It definitely feels like, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want to make it seem like it's a Hal Hartley movie or like it's something Hal Hartley would make.
No, but
it
I just couldn't,
feels like something that if you were inspired by Hal Hartley. To make something and this is what you did, it would be like, oh, this is such a cool way to, you know,
Of mid-90s independent films.
I know,
Hal Hartley is definitely the closest.
To perfection.
To what this is.
Well, yeah.
Is what I mean. If for no other reason that Martin Donovan and Alina Lowenson.
It's true, yeah.
But then also, like, fucking My Bloody Valentine and shit on
it. The music in it was actually really good. And I was kind of surprised by that. I did
but
not.
Here's a thing, because I couldn't help but think of Hal Hartley, is how the soundtrack, I felt like, undermined some of the humor.
Interesting. Okay.
Was my take. Like, there's funny dialogue, which was unexpected for one thing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, these aren't landing quite, you know, like, I feel like you would miss it if you weren't looking for it.
I hear you.
And I blamed it on the soundtrack. I don't know. Okay. That's the only thing I could pin down that was different from a Hartley movie. Whereas the humor felt similar.
Yeah, you know it definitely felt like it had the cadence of a Hartley movie.
So I laughed.
Yeah, but it didn't. But at the same time, I didn't feel like I was watching something where someone was trying to rip off Hal Hartley.
I think
that's what is what feels good about it.
Yes,
is like you're like, oh, I'm reminded of him, but I don't feel like you're trying to like reproduce a Hartley movie. Shit in it that I fucking loved. Like they do a lot of stuff. Like the director does a lot of stuff with how things are shot. Anything. So it's a vampire movie, obviously, but anything that's done with, it's not, I don't want to say vampire POV, but when a vampire is like going to feed or there's anything that's happening that's like caused by a vampire, the image shifts to a different, so like it's shot with film and then it switches to, you can tell it's shot in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, and it is the, it's like
Pixel Vision.
Yeah, Pixel Vision kid fucking audio.
Fisher-Price.
Audio cassette recorder or whatever. It's insane. And I knew immediately what was happening. I was like, because you were like, wait. Like, why does it look like this? And I was like, no, they're, it's.
I was like, first I was like, is this early digital?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's 94. It's still too early for that.
I was just like, no, it seems too sudden. And it's not constantly happening. And it seems like a specific sort of thing. And so I was like, oh, I like how they're doing it because they're not trying to. I think what I liked about it was that it didn't feel like it was trying to give it a certain, like it wasn't trying to make it look cool, you know?
Yeah.
It was trying to make it look like more difficult to like it was harder to see. It was harder to, and that made it more interesting to me because it gave you the sense of you're not sure what's supposed to be happening without changing anything other than literally what it's shot on. That's it. Like they're not changing the dialogue. They're not changing. It's not going from black and white to color. It's not like a cartoon, anything like that. It's just suddenly it's being filmed on something a little bit different.
There's a great shot, and I think it was one of the Pixel Vision ones where it's when she first gets back to her brother and then Cassandra leaves.
Yeah.
And she's making him smoke, but the way it's shot, you can't tell at first, and then the camera, the way they pan it around is really, I've never seen a shot like that.
It was really, but they do something else. And it's so, I think it's interesting because the implication, I felt the implication was that she was moving faster than they were.
Okay.
So Lucy.
Oh, the chase scene?
Lucy and Martin Donovan are running after Elena Lowenson's character. But you can tell it's just on a project. It's projected behind her. And she's slowly walking and smoking a cigarette with this rear project. And there's slow motion running behind her, and she's just kind of walking and smoking, and I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
I was like, yes! I was like, this is so fucking cool. God, I was like so impressed with this movie. Yeah. And another thing it does is it doesn't go too fucking hard on the vampire shit. It doesn't It doesn't go crazy. It doesn't try to completely change lore. It doesn't try to like, not like, oh, you know. And it doesn't necessarily explain things. Right. It just shows you stuff.
Well, and what I like too is it's basically follows from my, I've never read the book, but seemingly it follows the story of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
As well as being a sequel kind of, you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
So I like the blending of that. Like, it's not very strict about it,
which I love.
Yeah, same.
I enjoy. Something that I always love is when you take something with established characters in either literature or
postmodern.
Fucking hated that. That's so stupid. I was like, don't describe. That just sounds like it sucks. Like that's what I.
It really does.
Oh man, but I.
However, if I read that in 1994, I would have been like, sign me up.
But like in. I'm a big fan of the, I feel like Supernatural kind of does this, and I've talked about it before, like where you take something that's like established characters. It's a little bit different because Supernatural does it with religion and like, and like fairy tales and stuff like that. But still, when you take something that has established characters, whether it's in literature or television or whatever, and you use those characters, but you just tell your own story. Oh, I can be, oh, I'm such a sucker for that. If you're trying to make it, like, there are ways that, absolutely there are ways that it can fall flat.
Oh, yes.
And most of the time, the way is to make it too fantastical, use too much CGI, use too much, I'm not going to care.
Remember Beowulf?
Exactly. Right.
I never actually watched it.
I didn't either. I don't think anyone did, because why would you? It looked like shit. It looked like fucking shit.
I felt like it was really just an excuse to animate a nude Angelina Jolie.
Absolutely. 1,000%. But like, yeah, this takes, you know, there's the character of
Dracula,
essentially Van Helsing, all this shit. But then it's just like New York in the 90s.
Right.
And oh, God, I really liked.
But it's also, it's not like, it's also not meant to be the thing of just mapping it on a modern, a contemporary setting.
Right. It's just like casually.
It is supposed to literally be.
Yeah.
The daughter of Dracula.
Yes.
One of.
Yeah.
And maybe the same Van Helsing unknown.
Right.
And you got a Renfield.
Yeah, you have Renfield. You have, oh my God. And
Lucy also is in the original.
Oh, book. That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. But that's, yeah. I, oh God, it was so Peter Fonda. God.
He does great.
Oh my so good. God. It's such a.
I love the bicycle. He's such a great prop and part of his character.
Oh.
And used so well and not overdone.
No, not overdone, but also like so perfectly awkward.
He's correct.
So the film isn't awkward with it. He is awkward with it. And it's
just right.
It's exactly
it's just right.
How someone that takes their bike everywhere.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a part of it. Oh God, the fucking tarantula.
Yeah, that was the first moment where I'm like, okay, this movie is different than I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. You see that? They're on to me. Forces are at work. I mean, how many times do you see a tarantula roaming around your apartment, Jim? It's Lucy's.
God, that fucking slayed me. Oh,
it really
my
did.
God.
It took you out.
It did. And they'll just say shit. They would just say shit in this, and it was so fucking funny. Oh, there was another part. I don't remember what it was. Well, they'll just have a line of dialogue, and I'm like,
yeah,
what the fuck? Yeah. And this is amazing. Like, they'll just do something, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, this is...
Like
what?
A psychic effects.
Oh, my God. It's so... Oh, man. Yeah. Finding out he's a Nepo baby was a little bit disheartening for me, but I do love me some Jared Harris.
Yeah.
I've known him since I was a kid. He was in The Last of the Mohicans. He has, like, a small part in The Last of the Mohicans. And because I knew him from that, it's, you know, it's the autism. Sure. I was like, that's that guy. And he's not conventionally attractive at all. So, but he's such a good actor and he's
upper lip.
And he's so good matter what he does. And so
his voice is interesting too.
Yeah,
I really
like
his voice.
Yeah, he has a great voice. And yeah, I just, anytime I see him in something, I'm like, it's my boy. It's
hey guys, Valerie's back. Doesn't she look beautiful?
Fuck. So good.
Yeah, I almost wanted more of him almost, you know?
Yeah, I will say, I like the part where he's like, he describes the psychic facts and he's like, I'm just telling you because it's about to happen.
When she's hungry or in pain, I see things, images, flashes. I've tried to block it, but it's very strong. I mention this because I'm about to receive one right now.
So fucking...
Yeah, that's the only like scene he really gets to...
Yeah.
Eat up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he does it well.
Yeah. It's a very interesting... I was not disappointed watching it. And I was like... I will say, like, I wasn't expecting the movie itself to impress me. But I was like, especially coming off of the addiction, I was like, this was a year before.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah. The Addiction is 95 and this was 94. So I'm like, The Addiction really feels like it fell flat because this one is literally it's following a fucking female vampire. It's got queer shit in it. Mm-hmm. There's no othering of that. It's not done in such a way. It 1994 and it's not... It's presented exactly how you would see it right now.
Thank you for saying that because I get so, I mean, a little bit defensive, I guess is what it is. But like when people talk about like queer representation and like, and I know, I know, like, what I experienced was different than mainstream, you know.
Yeah. I think you mean lamestream.
Yeah. You know, I definitely was, by that age, definitely looking for things outside the mainstream. And it was easy in certain ways that, you know, because of... Anyway, whatever. Like, when people talk about, like, queer representation during the 90s and how it was not... Like, Matt Baum is one of those, is a YouTuber who, he's great.
Oh, I, yeah. You've shown me his stuff.
He does great stuff about, typically it's, or the stuff I've seen that I really enjoy is he'll talk about queer representation in like TV, like All in the Family, or like he'll profile like a certain actor who was, had to be in the closet. Like, he's got one on Paul Lynde, and he did one on Jim Nabors.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm not saying that he's wrong or misrepresenting things, and I'm sure, you know, like, trying to be a gay person in the industry is different than, you know, like, what I, as a consumer of media in the 90s, you know. Anyway, it always kind of rubs me the wrong way when people are like, and at that point, and in that time, it was unheard of, or, like, it was much harder. You know, of course, I lived through Ellen coming out, right?
Yeah.
And what a big fucking deal that was. Yeah, and I was like, why? Why? Why are we doing this now? Anyway, I don't know. I just... Decent representations where it wasn't...
I think it did exist. I think what people are missing when they say stuff like that is, like, there was definitely queer representation, just not in the mainstream.
Yeah. And I get that, like, if we want to talk about all the backlash that happened, you know, from Reagan on.
Yeah.
The Thatcher Reagan era and how we've just been in a slide backwards ever since. Fine.
Right.
But also, let's not erase the things that did happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, I think, you know, because obviously, you know, there was queer stuff happening. There's queer representation. But a lot of it was happening in indie films and independent stuff and, like, indie music and all of that shit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it wasn't there. It's just, it wasn't, if you were, like, 10 years old, you might have missed it.
Which is fair.
But that's not... That doesn't mean it didn't exist. It just didn't exist for you.
Right.
But that was...
Like, I feel like this came up, too, when we talked about the opposite of sex.
Yeah. Right. Three years ago
or whatever.
I mean, I will say, I do know that in the 90s, like, one of the reasons why it was a bigger deal, and this, I think this is one of the reasons why I have always sort of, like, appreciated Martin Donovan in particular, is because he... was in movies playing queer characters. Mm-hmm. And in, like, this is a movie where there's a queer, you know, his wife in the film is, like, basically under a love spell from a vampire the whole time. And he's just trying to, like, help her. Mm-hmm. And he's not mad and he's not like, oh my God, there's nothing. But it's like, they allow queer sex to happen. You see more queer, like, sex or sexuality than you do cis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, or not cis, heterosexual, cis het. And that's really important. And he was in this, is it The Hollow Reed, I think?
I think so.
Where he's playing a queer guy, but he has, like, a full on love scene in that movie where he's just, like, making out with a dude and, like, they're just, like, ripping each other's clothes off. That shit was hot as hell. I watched that and I was like, girl. And then he was in The Opposite of Sex where he's playing a gay character. And, like, I don't, you know, those are good examples of, like, you know, granted, he was more in the indie scene in the 90s, especially. Right. Like, he hadn't been in a Marvel movie yet. But.
Or a Chris Nolan movie.
Yeah. But, like. And, like, the only reason he was in a Marvel movie is because Paul Rudd was in a Marvel movie. Right. And he, I mean, this is what.
How did they know each other?
Because they were in a movie together in the 90s. They were in like.
Clueless.
Yeah. They were in Clueless together. No, I think it was like a mini series or like a. Wow. it was like not a mainstream, like not mainstream in the sense of like it wasn't a blockbuster, it wasn't a hit. Either like an indie movie or like a made for TV movie where it's like limited audiences saw it. And, but they worked together and he suggested him to play like in Ant-Man. And that's the only reason he was in a Marvel movie is because he knows Paul Rudd.
Damn.
So shit like that where it's like when you, I know I'm obsessed with Martin Donovan, but like it's one of those things where you can't really say like, this is where the thing is happening. I can sometimes, I don't really enjoy whenever people are like, only queer people should play queer characters. Only.
Well, yeah.
Because I think, one, someone shouldn't have to come out to tell you why they're playing this character. And two, a lot of times, especially in the past, that was not the safest option. Because even straight actors were getting blackballed in Hollywood for playing queer characters. Right. So the fact that Martin Donovan was doing indie stuff and playing queer characters in indie stuff, it means something to me because it means that he took the story and the character more serious than he did the possibility of another job coming afterwards.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that's why I, like, that's why he made such an impression on me as a young person. That's why I liked watching his movies because I noticed, even as a teenager, that he was in movies that weren't necessarily meant for the mainstream. And that's why I was like, this dude's cool. You know, I was like 15 and I was like, something about this dude's fucking cool and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't have the language for it. But like, shit like this. Like,
well, it's also when you see stuff like that, and especially if you like the film overall, right?
Yeah,
You're like, oh, it really isn't about, it's not a meritocracy.
Exactly, right. Right. And it's like, I remember The Opposite of Sex being kind of like a big deal when it came out because it was like a pretty,
yeah,
it wasn't a mainstream movie, but it was mainstream for being indie.
Yeah.
Like it was talked about, like I knew about it when it came out. Like I remember it coming out and people being like, oh my God. And I watch it now and I'm like,
I think at the time Lisa Kudrow was the biggest name in it.
Right. Well, also
Lyle Lovett.
Yeah, Lyle Lovett.
Well, Christina Ricci was.
Yeah, Christina Ricci. Up. Right. And like,
she'd probably already done an Addams Family by then.
Oh yeah. She'd done all of them.
Okay.
So I remember it coming out and I remember watching it as a teenager and being like, this is going to be so scandalous. And then being like, this isn't that scandalous.
No.
Like, it's not that scandalous at all. Like, I don't even know. There's not even nudity in it, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. But
no,
like,
I don't remember any.
And it was so like, oh my God, because it's talking about gay love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's.
And family.
Exactly. And so it was like such a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's like, you watch it and it's so fucking milquetoast. Like, it's not doing anything crazy. The most offensive shit is Christina Ricci talking shit on, which I think is hilarious.
So good.
But she's like saying really offensive shit about being gay. Like,
right.
But she's also playing like a 17-year-old kid in the 90s. Right. So like, of course that's like, doesn't understand, you know, why that might be offensive. Like, you know, anyway, whatever. It's just one of those things where like, you realize it was also a risk for people to play those characters. And some people would risk everything to play a character like that. And I, whether you're straight.
Or more importantly, a lot of people would avoid it, like the plague.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Whether you're straight or gay, and you know, you came out later, you didn't want to come out at the time and you played those characters. I'm grateful to anyone that played those characters in the 90s when you were risking your career to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I will stand, you know, like if someone was like, Martin Donovan's a piece of shit or something, there were receipts, I'm not going to, you know, do this. But it's one of the reasons why I let myself have such an avid appreciation and adoration of Martin Donovan, because I'm like, he was someone that gave me queer characters And he was someone that introduced queerness to me when I was young. And that's so important. It doesn't matter. You know, it's one of the reasons why I love Susie Izard. You know, it's why I like Martin Donovan. It's why even Jason Isaacs, like a lot of these people introduced queerness to me, you know, in different ways, you know, and not all of those people are queer themselves, but it doesn't matter because at the time, if you were doing something like that, you might be doing something a little bit dangerous for you. You might be doing something that could cost you your job. So, I mean, yeah, right. You might not come back from that, you know, and that's like, that's a really sad reality. But I also think that that goes back into what you were saying to like erase that part of it where like people were in queer things.
Yeah.
They just got in trouble for it or might have gotten in trouble, you know, risked getting in trouble for it. So to act like those things didn't exist, to act like those things didn't exist is to also erase that.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, you know, because some of these people where some of these people didn't, it didn't risk their career. Others it did. So you can't say this stuff wasn't around. You have to say this stuff was hard to come by and the people that were in it risked their careers to be in it. And so it's really important to talk about that. And that's something that like watching this, I was like, this feels not scandalous, but like the way that it was, the way that they're like the way that the, you know, lesbo sex happened, I was like, this is actually something that I don't even know would be done now the way that it was done.
Oh yeah. Right.
And I was like,
agree.
And there's nothing like super graphic about it. It's not, they're not showing, I don't even know if there's nudity in the movie at all.
No.
But I was like, wow, they're just saying.
Well, and specifically I was like, wow, this is a lot of period talk and it's just open.
Exactly. And there's, you know, no, yeah.
It's not graphic or anything.
No. Yeah.
Like, but you do see, you know, like blood in the bed. And then it's just like a couple short scenes back to back where all you're talking about is this person's period.
Yeah.
It's very frank. And
it's not like, it's not, oh, you're on your period again. It's not like that. It's like, I'm worried about you because you're really, you're bleeding a lot and stuff like that.
It's normal like, shit.
Yeah.
But you just don't see it.
Exactly. And so it's like,
like I remember when Friends did an episode where they referred to,
oh God.
I mean, I don't remember the episode. I just remember it was like historic that they called a period a period.
Oh, wow.
It was like the first time that had happened on network television.
And right. And so it's like, it was, definitely this movie did some stuff and I totally unexpected. I did not expect, I was like, maybe it'll be cool. Maybe I'll like it. What?
It's great.
This is a great movie. Yeah. I cannot wait to take screenshots for this shit. Oh my God. I'm so excited for that. Ugh. Like even The Addiction had some scenes where I'm like, oh, this will make a really nice, like this has some, but like this just, this said, no, it's not stylized because it's black and white. We're going to make it stylized and black and white. This movie like just was just like, fuck that. And the fact that like even the way it's black and white feels just like, it doesn't like, it feels different than The Addiction because it feels like that one felt more contrasted.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to, you know, like the shadows were darker, which I'm not complaining about. I'm not complaining about like, or
no, it
shitting.
Like it was,
I'm just
aiming
comparing.
For a different effect.
Right. And it just feels like they're, the shadows are so shadowy and sometimes things are hard to see because of the shadow. And you know, you know, there's a lot of just like, just absolute like darkness in that, which is fine. But this one, it's just, it's black and white. And then
it feels very crisp.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another effect of the pixel vision shots,
right?
Is that when it comes back, everything feels very
so clear.
And
yes. And yeah, right. I was like there's one scene where it's got the pixel vision. And then when it comes back, it's showing the corner of a room and that's like it. And I was like, this seems like such an amazing shot.
Right.
And not to say like the pixel vision sucked. It's not like that, but just like the contrast of you just showing like a corner in a room is just like so intentional and it felt so, it was so cool, man. This movie was so cool. How did I never hear about it? I had no idea about it.
I want to try to... We should try to find some of their other films.
Yeah, because, like, I've never heard of this dude.
Well, and yeah, I mean, it seems like there's someone who has also avoided the mainstream.
Yeah.
Intentionally or otherwise.
Yeah, right?
Michael Almereyda. Is my guess on how to pronounce that.
He's from Kansas.
Dorothy. I wondered, it's been too long since we watched The Hunger.
Yeah.
I felt like there were things that maybe were not quite quotations, but like...
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
And Dracula's Daughter, I watched that like a year ago, maybe. That's from 1936. And it has some lesbianic undertones. So I definitely see that this, you know, like... Someone put this in IMDb under connections as... They called this a remake of Dracula's Daughter, which I feel like is a little too literal.
Yeah. I want to read this trivia. This is not from this movie. I was just looking at another film that he did, which is called The Eternal. And it just says, I just think this is hilarious. Prior to hiring Michael Almereyda, Trimark paid a substantial amount of money to secure the rights to Bram Stoker's The Jewel of Seven Stars without realizing the novel was in public domain. That's so fucking funny. Oh my God. Guys, Google's free. I'm just kidding. That's so funny.
But for how long?
Oh, that's fair.
Thank you so much.
No, yeah, there's just to piggyback off of that. There's a lot of like saying Google's free is such a shitty thing because Google isn't necessarily going to show everyone the same results. You also have to tell
libraries are free.
You have to like yeah, there's just like what do you call it? Like not a prejudice, but like your searches are going to be more biased towards other things that you look up. So if you're telling someone who's saying something also, racist to Google it, yeah.
Paid.
Correct. There's, yeah. So don't be like, Google's free. Especially not if you're white and you're talking to someone else who is white.
Well, here's a tip.
Who's getting it wrong.
Here's a pro tip. Here's an anti-racist pro tip. If you're white, don't talk to anyone else. Don't speak. I already know.
Word for word, exactly what the lyrics are.
I know. Like a steel sieve.
Like a steel drum. Right in there. Boing, 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 boing.
Like a steel lap guitar.
I don't know what to
Sorry,
say.
Can you do that? I want to hear your... impression of a steel drum again?
Yeah, you can play back.
Okay. Get ready for some sampling. Probably the most I've liked Alina Lowenson too, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, she's always fine. I just can't tell if she's a good actor or not, honestly. Which is, you know, better than being certain that she's not.
Well, I guess that's fair.
One critique is that sometimes the dialogue is very difficult to hear.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't fault the movie for that.
Well, yeah, I don't know where to fault it. If it was like the engineer, like how it got mixed down or what, but I almost never can hear what Renfield is saying.
I don't take medicine. I'm the nurse. Edgar's the sick one.
Maybe you should start taking it, because you don't look very well. And you're still sitting in my chair.
Yeah, I mean, with black and white film, for whatever reason, the sound. Sorry, I was gonna bullshit. I'm so sorry. Oh, it was gonna be really so good. Me. It was gonna be so good, and I just looked at you, and I was like, "Fuck, I shouldn't have done that." I looked at you, and you looked interested in what I was gonna say. All right, I'll just close them. And I shouldn't have done that. I should have just kept
you
talking.
Had me.
I know. You were so confident. I know. But I did this. And I started putting the mic up too high, and I was like, I can't. I was like, and anyway, what I was saying is, yeah, I really wanted to say, like, the sound for black and white film, the sound strip doesn't pick it up as well, which is one of the reasons why they switched to color. That was what I was going to say.
That's too far. That's a bridge too far.
Well, I wasn't going to say that's why. I was going to say it's one of the reasons why. Color is so much more prominent than black and white film or whatever. I don't know. It depends on the kind of film. It depends on the distributor. Like, I was just gonna bullshit, but no.
You should have got into it. It's like Kodak versus Fuji or something.
Yeah, but then I would have had, if I have to think of a name, yeah, you know, I'm not gonna, I've already failed.
I also don't know, but you could have got me there because I don't know anybody besides Kodak that made moving picture film stock.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like, it's like, this is going to sound, because I just bullshitted. It's like, like, zippers, they always say, like, YKK.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, and everyone's like, why do all the zippers say YKK? It's because YKK, the company that makes zippers, dominates zippers. So they just all say YKK because they're all made from the same fucking, so it doesn't matter. Like, whatever manufacturer, like, you can get Levi's jeans, you can get whatever, it's gonna say YKK on the zipper because they all come from the, and I finding that was, I was like, how?
Industry standard.
That's insane. That, but I mean, like, amazing. Look, fucking, you know,
dollars,
I mean, I haven't,
dollars to donuts, they made some deal with the Third Reich and then we sold a scientist after the war.
No, that's why we. That's why they lost.
Lack of scientists. Zipper science.
My favorite is when he's like, like, he's like, no, that's why we. No.
Oh, I had another tiny critique. I wasn't crazy about how it ended, but whatever. It's really. It's
honestly
fine.
I was like, no, thank God.
Yeah, there's enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't undermine anything. It doesn't take away from the rest
right.
of the movie.
Right. That was the thing. Like, it happens, and then it just kind of like, oh, this is the end of the movie. And I was like, okay, fine. Thank God. Because if they tried to,
the
like.
The visuals are still gorgeous at the end. I love the.
Yes.
The.
Yes. Water.
Light on water effect was really effective.
I was like, thank God that.
What an eye this person has, you know?
I know. Yeah. Seriously. But I was really like, thank God we're not going on some pilgrimage with people. We're not doing anything. It's literally just like, and then this happened, and then, all right.
I do love, so recently, I think I talked about this on microphone, but that I watched the 1977 BBC production of Count Dracula, Bram Stoker's Count Dracula, which is, according to James Rolfe, the most closely follows the novel the closest.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it. It's got some weird ass visual effects in it.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, because otherwise it's dry as fuck.
Right.
And is like 2.5 hours long, I think. I watched that in two sittings. That movie, I don't know if this is how the book is, but like, I will say this movie shares with that production that, like, suddenly we're in Romania again. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah, even though.
I mean, like, this one is set contemporarily in the 90s, presumably.
Yeah.
That one is 18 whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like nothing. They're just going back and forth from the UK to Transylvania.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I mean the humans, not.
Oh, right.
Not Count Dracul.
Dracul. Yeah, it's.
I love that they threw in a Ceausescu there in their names too, the Nadia and Edgar.
I don't know what that means.
When they say their full names.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know, but Jared Harris seemed like he really did his homework as far as speaking Romanian.
Well, yeah.
What?
Well, I was going to say, Lowenstein is from...
He's Romanian, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, that's probably a helps. I'm not saying, just saying, that's probably...
Although I felt like he had more lines in Romanian than she did.
Maybe. But still, if I was going to be speaking Romanian...
Yeah, but assuming he's neurotypical or whatever, and not an Audie like us who would obsess...
I wouldn't go so far as to say he's neurotypical.
I don't know either. The best actors typically...
I know, yeah.
...are Anthony Hopkins. And Dan Aykroyd.
Would you recommend?
Yes, very enthusiastically.
Same, yeah.
Especially after The Addiction, I think I was like, oh God, it's going to be so pretentious.
I know.
Try so hard, you know.
Yeah.
All the baggage of a black and white film that The Addiction does nothing to combat.
Correct, yes.
And everything to affirm.
Correct. Yeah.
But this film, unfortunately...
Unfortunately, this film is nothing like The Addiction.
Yes, it was a great thing to follow The Addiction.
Yeah, with. I agree. Yeah, that's why I like.
I was worried that would be a detriment to it.
I felt like I don't think. I mean, I could. I'm like, yes, I can be wrong, but Martin Donovan is such a nice palate cleanser, and for me.
He can cleanse my palate.
You can gargle my mouthwash anytime he wants. You're welcome. So I was like, okay, this movie is at least going to have like points. I was like, okay, Jared Harris is in it. I enjoy Jared Harris. You know, I enjoy Martin Donovan. I like Alina Lowenstein, you know, like these are going to be things that even if the movie itself kind of sucks, it's going to feel, you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, okay, you know, because even though The Addiction sucked, it was like, okay, but we had Lily
Taylor, yeah,
you know, did love. So I was like, okay, there's that.
Right.
But it did so much, like you said, it did so much to combat all of the things that we didn't like about.
Yeah.
The Addiction, and that was something, you know, it's very, like, it manages to have a female main character. It deals with, you know, it does a lot of things with having, like, female characters.
I was going to talk about Lucy. That's what my other thing was, but
yes,
sorry.
I'll finish real quick, and then you can. And the fact that, like, the male characters in this mostly are talking about the female characters.
Yeah, you're right.
And that is, like...
Way to pass the Bechdel.
Exactly.
Test.
Right, yeah. It's, like, super interesting because, like... And even, like... Yeah, there's just so much that's going on. There's, like, a female villain that you don't hate. Like, you don't hate her. She doesn't do anything to make you hate her. And most of why, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's really, it really did some shit. And it didn't overly glamorize vampirism.
Right.
But it didn't gloss over it.
Right.
It didn't make it confusing.
Well, I do like, too, there's a nice contrast where you feel like, I mean, Edgar's brought in a little too late for it to get a whole thread through the movie, but, like, the contrast of...
Yes.
She's kind of just doing the lifestyle.
Yeah.
The vampire.
Living the life 24/7. Yeah.
And he's, like, clearly, like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Our bloodline should end here.
Yeah.
Usher style.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, yeah. But, yeah, it's definitely, it did some stuff. Like, for having, like, men as main characters as well as having women as main characters, it doesn't diminish the female main characters. And a lot of times they're talking about those like, not always, not every single thing, but in a lot of ways, even when he's talking about, even when Peter Fonda is talking about, like, they're in the apartment, Peter Fonda's talking about Martin Donovan's wife, like, his character's mom.
Yes.
And how he loved her and stuff like that. Yeah. They're always talking about women.
That's true.
But not in, like, a shitty, women are stupid, or, like, women are the weaker sex. Like, women, blah. No, it's and that's super interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I hadn't really put that together until, but I was like, yeah, they're always talking about, you know, like, and the way he talks about, he's like, I can't go out with you because she's got her period and she's having like a lot of trouble and, you know, I'm really worried about her. And I love that. I love that.
Right.
In a movie, a guy is saying, I can't do what you want to do because I have to take care of my partner who has really bad cramps right now. And, right, it's not a joke. It's not done for comedic purposes.
And he's not complaining.
Exactly. He's like, no, I need to take care of my partner. Yeah. And that's,
and also it's not done in a like patronizing or condescending way. Yep. But like,
what?
Yeah.
Never have I seen some shit like that. Yeah. So that's like super. Yeah. There's some shit in this movie that I was like, damn. All right. You're just doing it. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, Lucy.
Yeah.
Galaxy Quest or whatever her name
is. Galaxy Craze.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry, girl.
Also hard to hear a lot of the movie. But mostly I was just going to talk about, like, maybe the most unfortunate part about the movie to me, because she's not given much agency.
Yeah, that's fair. That's, you know, fair. What I mean? Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, you could argue that, yes, it's taken advantage of, like, that's the whole point. That's the whole why she's that way is because of Nadia's doing a vampire to her, doing a vampirism on her. But yeah, and that happens pretty early in the movie, and then she's kind of just half there. I mean, but I was thinking, you know, like, it does. I did start to get nervous because her and Martin Donovan as a pairing is very. First of all, they're physically
so. Yeah,
he looks like a giant next to her,
but he's like so fucking tall.
I know, but also,
like, yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
And maybe, you know, you can't tell, maybe he's supposed to be 17, like he is in Trust.
Ah, fucking whatever. No, I refuse it. I rebuke that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But there's, especially since he spends the night out and there's, you know, like when she brings Nadia home, the talk is like, oh, this is what happens. And even though when you see them interact at the boxing ring or whatever, it's like clearly affectionate.
Yeah.
Both ways. And, but then you're like, okay, a threat. For me, I started to get like, oh, great, here we go. It's going to be like a gross dynamic between the two of them, intentional or otherwise. You know what
Correct.
I mean?
Correct. Yeah.
But then it's not.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that that character has to spend the rest of the...
Well, I think what I like that
it feels like they're just being dragged along.
I hear what you're saying.
Even though she's used to... Lucy is used to do a lot of, like, room changes look over here.
I think that I hear what you're saying, but I feel like that's sort of... I mean, whether it's done... as well as it could have been or not. I think that's sort of the point of her character a little bit. Not so much that she doesn't have agency, but like that she, cause like she has that conversation with Nadia where she's like, oh, I don't, you know, I just like all this bad stuff happened. So family is very strange to me, which I felt really, you know, I was like, oh
yeah, yeah.
You know,
but I'm married now. And all of this family stuff, it feels so far removed from me now. It's almost abstract. No. See how you bury the primary pain? It goes underground. It seeps into the water supply. You're poisoned. All your relationships are poisoned. You must dare to dredge up the primary pain.
But then Nadia was like, no, you can't just be like, oh, like that doesn't happen and then it just goes away. Like you have to actually face things. Yeah. You have to actually look at that stuff. And I think that that was sort of the point of it, was that like she's, that's her approach to things, was to not face them, to just be passive, to just let things happen to her and not necessarily feel like she has any control. So, and towards the end, she says, like, she basically is like, she's still kind of under the spell, but she says she's a monster and I hate her. And it's like the first time she's saying something that's like her own sort of thing. That's not like, she's like, we have to kill her. She's a monster and I hate her. And I feel like that was like her sort of becoming and starting to have, but also I did like the conversation that Jim, that's who Martin Donovan's character was. Oh my God. It's taken me all this time. Where Jimothy is.
He's Thomas in Amateur.
Yeah, I think so.
Like the saint.
So Jimothy is saying to Lucy, he says like this thing where he's trying to admit that he is not being as present as he needs to be either. And he's like, I look at people. He has a moment like that when he's at the diner with his uncle, where he keeps looking at the like waitress and like just like looking at, you can tell like it's, you're like, oh, do you know each other? Like there's this, and then nothing happens and they leave. And then he says, you know, I look at people and I think that I could fall in love with them or whatever. And he's like, but you're
Melissa Stabler or whatever.
Her name is.
Or Linda, I think.
I don't know, girl. I don't know.
I know. Sorry.
Mrs. Stabler. So he has like, he's like sort of admitting that he hasn't done the best. And then she says, she just repeats what Elena Lowenson says.
Right.
And then she throws him across the bar, which is fucking hilarious. I loved that so much. Oh
that
my God.
That was hilarious.
And.
Kathy.
Yep. You're right. It is Kathy. Kathy Stabler. R.A.P. Fucking Christ.
Too little, too late.
Anyway, whatever. That's a different vampire series. Anyway, yeah, like they do a lot of, I think it's like, also in this scene when she's like, and I kind of liked this because she says, like, when Elena Lowenson is, like, you know, fingering her or whatever, and she says, I can't believe I'm letting you do this to me or something. Or
just tell me to go away.
I can't believe I'm letting you do this to me.
But it's such a way, you can insert the clip, where it's like she's...
It won't be audible.
Where it's almost like... She's refusing her own agency in the situation, but while still admitting that, like she can't consent to this, even though that's, you know, it was just like phrased in such a way where it's like, I don't think it's trying to blur the lines of consent in any way.
Right.
I think what it's doing is showing that she's someone who thinks things happen to her.
Regardless.
Correct. And I think that's a very interesting way to present a character.
Without victimizing, showing them as a victim.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not what I mean. Blaming the victim.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, without blaming the victim, but also without making her out, like doing the whole, like, I really hate when people say this. I don't like this as a term to use, but like giving her the victim mentality.
Yeah.
Like that can absolutely,
that's what I mean.
That's absolutely done in characters. you know, but that's not a real life thing. That's a thing you can do in a movie or a TV series, is that you can like give someone the victim mentality of like appearing to have no agency, but that's not the reality of the situation. Not to say that if someone is like victimized that they have agency the whole time. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But to make it out like you just need to be stronger. Like you need to just fight back. You need to learn how to. That's giving a character the victim mentality because you're projecting that onto the character, not because it's a real thing. And that's why I'm saying it can happen in a movie or a film, but not in real life. Because in real life, there's all kinds of shit that's going on in a movie or a like TV or film. You are entirely making up the scenario. And so if you're doing something to make them have had a way out and not taken it, and that's their problem, then you're giving the character a victim mentality, which you can do.
Sure.
But it's also, it's not saying that that's a reality or that's a real thing. It's saying like that's a way to kind of do a disservice to victims of actual shit, like to give a character a victim mentality, meaning that they're like... You know, to get do the whole like they're a victim because they aren't standing up for themselves. It's like that's great, but like, who's that helping to say shit like that? Anyway, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it and I thought it was good and I thought it looked cool and I was impressed with the choices visually that it made and it was just this was definitely. A surprise hit for
me. Amen. And definitely a nice follow, very pleasant after the addiction.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Which the addiction did have some.
It had some interesting things, but I think the biggest thing for me was that I think the biggest disappointment is finding out that the addiction was like.
Not even an analogy.
Right. It wasn't even an analogy, but it was also like, oh, it's about deciding to let. You know, let go and let God, basically. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, right.
That's really where I was like, I was like on board with like, not on board, but I was like, okay, I could see, you know, the benefits of this movie. I could see the point it's making. But finding that out, I was like, oh, I hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's just boring. So, yeah. This doesn't do that. In fact, there's no religion in this at all. I don't think. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Which puts it above Bram Stoker's Dracula, too, because Van Helsing does love to bring in some.
Well, yeah.
Again, I'm going by that BBC production. I've never read the book.
That's fair.
Probably never will. I did try to read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein like a year ago or something.
Nice. I tried to read 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, same thing.
Gone. Dreams of the past, gone with the love that moved too fast. Gone, bright shiny days, gone in a young and restless haze. Why did we love? Restless friend, you'll never pass this way again. Drink the summer wine.
Hot, hot, hot.